I think you were down the coast, and I was down the coast. I don't want to say exactly where I was,
but we're very close.
We're close, and we say we're in Victoria.
When we drive past your place, the kids are like, which street is it? I'm like, oh, I don't know. But we are going to visit each other. But because of COVID, my partner's very paranoid about it.
Yeah, it's just not worth it. It's just not. No. The only thing is you could meet somewhere. You could meet on a beach.
On the beach.
And that's going to be fine. So,
but I don't want to. You'll be there with your surfy mates. You know, you won't talk to me. You know.
Yeah, but I'll be talking lingo and you won't be able to keep up and it'll be a bit embarrassing, you know.
I'll have my boogie board. I'll my boogie board and I'll just go, look at this.
Boogie board's not cool, dude, you know. And I'll go up at the sand dunes and have some drugs and stuff and, you know. Cowbunga, dude.
No, you'll go, you know what, you'll be there with some locals and you'll go, sorry, mate, locals only. Which is always a big threat when you were a surfy, wasn't it? Locals
Dave,
only,
stop
mate.
Stop talking to me. You're a city guy. You're not a beach guy like me.
You're not a local, mate.
You're not a local, mate. Piss off. So anything, we had something happen. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, absolutely. A shark attack?
No. But there were two. There's been three sharks down there because I've got the app on my phone. It comes up with a little fin on my phone. Emergency. Oh. You should get it. It comes. It goes beep on your phone.
We hear a siren occasionally. I think they have a shark siren.
Well, that could be it. And they have the helicopters. They have the jet skis coming around and stuff. But there were three at the just up the road from me. So, you know. I was the expert. I contacted all my friends and said there's a shark in the breaker. There's a shark in the region.
You have a look. There's a shark. Oh, hang on. It's in the fish and chip shop. Bit of flake. There we go. Yum. I had some. I had some the other day.
Beautiful. So anyway, they're down there on the down the beach with the family in a house and thought we'd go for a walk. Down to the rock pools. Tide's low.
Oh, beautiful. We did that.
Rock pools are fantastic. Yeah. You know, every little rock pool's a different window into a different world, and you find shells, and you find little fish, and maybe an old Coke can or something. It's really satisfying. You know,
it's good for little kids. Little kids like rock pools.
They love it. Yeah. So anyway, so we walk up around the point, and we're taking photos, and you know, and then we're with the grandchild, and then we come to this rock that's sort of. Like it's got a little bit of a, you can walk underneath it. And we said to the grandchild, you go underneath there and then run back through it and we'll take a photograph of you. So he walks underneath it and he turns left. And we're standing there waiting for him to come back. And I hear what I think is a motorbike starting. And I go, that's weird. And then I hear a scream, which is Romy. And then we run around, and there is a 140 kilo seal arched up with the grandchild about a foot away. He just ran up. Well, he didn't know what it was. He didn't know that it was dangerous. Well, they're not. I mean, they are dangerous, but they can bite you.
Glenn's mate Dave's turned up in his wetsuit. There he is.
Well, for a second I thought, is that Dave O'Neill? No. So yeah, we ran in and Romy picked him up and saved the day.
Wow! So the seal went up, did it? Like it went up.
You
on
know,
the
like
sort of...
like you know, it was a bit like when they spin the ball on their nose and the motorbike obviously was the seal barking because it went rah, like that. And I'm going, what is that? And you would think I would put two and two together that it would be a seal because we have seen it around there before. But only from a distance, and he was standing about a foot away, and luckily nothing happened. And he later on said the seal was friendly, so they learn fear. They learn fear. You know what I mean?
Who, the little kid said the seal was friendly?
Yeah, seal was friendly. He was friendly. So he didn't
We had a great time before you turned up and ruined it.
Yeah, I was chatting to the seal there and going right on his back and everything, and then he walked around the other side. And he lay down again. And of course, we're retelling the story how we all saw it differently and the drama of it all. And Alex actually took photographs. I should see if I can get it of the seal prints. And he sent it to his American family. And I would imagine much trauma for the family seeing that they're in Australia confronting seals on a beach, going, what happens in that country?
So they can bite you, can they? Seals can bite.
Well, their temperament is not unlike a dog in that they won't necessarily attack you, but if you taunt them or go at them.
Step on them.
They'll bite you. They'll bite you, but they won't pursue you. I've been swimming in the bay and they come around and they play with you, and if you do the wrong thing, they'll, you know, have a bit of a nibble at you. But yeah, I would imagine he probably would have, if the grandchild had done any more, then he may have well got bitten. But
whoa.
Anyway,
that's incredible.
Luckily,
you shot it.
Well, I had a harpoon with me, which was handy. Because as you know, I'll carry a harpoon wherever I go. And I said, kids, you might not want to see this. Oh, no, come on. Come and have a look at this. We'll take the seal. Who wants to take the seal home? You know.
Remember that some of the first colonies in Victoria were seal hunting colonies where they'd hunt the seals.
Oh, yeah. Well,
seals and whales. And they must have used the meat and the skins for stuff.
I mean, there's still a colony lives out in the middle of Port Phillip Bay, and you can get boat rides out there. And I've done it. You jump in the water and they come. I've surfed with seals. And I tell you, you realise how big they are when they scoot past you. They're big, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, they're like 6 foot long and they're big and fat and they're very powerful. But they go whoosh past you, and you go, "What the hell was that?"
Oh.
And it's a seal, just you know, having fun. Yeah, but anyway.
Wow.
So when I write my surfing story books, stories from the beach. That's what my story book will be. Stories from the beach. I'll be putting that one in there. But that's a story that we'll pull out at his 21st.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'll be in my 80s by then. So.
But we'll
be Uncle Arthur. Uncle Arthur will tell that story.
Oh, fantastic. Here comes the music. The music's coming up, boys.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related Now. Please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, yeah, welcome to the podcast. And I got to tell you, we watched the other night, we had nothing to do down the beach house, we watched the Kath and Kim movie, which was really funny, the one in Italy.
Oh, did you? Yeah, because, yeah, well, oh,
great.
You, yeah.
Because I'd never seen it, and I remember when it came out, yeah, it was really funny. I mean, you're nude in it. You slide down a aircraft slide thing.
I tell you what, and I did it in the nude, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yes, because I'd had some tablets and on the plane, Kel had, I didn't, and I went a bit funny and took
That's
all
it.
My clothes off, didn't I?
Yeah.
And then we had to go out to Avalon and film that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Avalon is the capital of snakes. Seriously, the Avalon Airport, there are snakes everywhere there.
Oh, really?
And I'm running around in the nude in snake country. And then you've got to slide down a rubber slide in the nude. And I go, oh, that's
Did you hurt your bum? You must have had
chops
on.
I'll tell you, yes, I did. It was hot. I got a hot ass, you know, it's like when you come back from the beach and you sit on the back seat of the car when you're a kid.
So hang on, were you fully bared ass on that slide or? You're holding a bag on your lap, I think.
Surely, you know what, thinking about it.
You must have had chops on or?
You'd have to, because I'd have to have everything tied up and, you know, pushed away.
Yeah.
Because it could, you know, knowing me, I could tear a hole in that thing, you know, with you know. Hi, kids, if you're listening. I probably, you know what, I had a bag in front, so I probably had something
had
to protect my bony ass.
But again, it's good. If you've got kids or teenagers, it's a good movie because it's not rude or anything. There's some very funny bits in it. So,
it was fun to do. Obviously, was in real Italy.
Yeah,
we
beautiful.
We stayed in a castle for a couple of weeks or 10 days or something.
The sword fight's very funny between you and Rob Sitch. And it's good to see Rob Sitch playing a comic role because he's very funny, Rob Sitch.
Cat's love interest in that. And Rob's very good. Yeah,
and Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant, he's a lovely guy.
Oh, he's fantastic. Very funny.
So I got to know him really well. And who else? Barry Humphrey spent a few days over there with Barry. That was where Barry came out after lunch with the Dame Edna head on, but just a dressing gown on and nothing else. And it was too weird because here's Dame Edna speaking as Barry with the front of his thing falling open going, there's Dame Edna's breasts. There's it was just too, because I've grown up with Dame Edna.
Dame Edna
is real. She's real. Yeah. You can't kill that fantasy. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's good.
Yeah, it was great. It's on Netflix if anyone wants to have a look.
Yeah.
Really funny. Okay, so let's get the topics. It's January, so we don't know if Sam's been working hard, but she's got a topic for us, she tells us. So,
yes.
What is it, Sam?
The Dalai Lama and thongs.
Oh, okay.
She said thongs, not thong, because there's a difference, isn't there?
Yes, yes.
A thong is a G-string, isn't it?
In America.
What do we call G-strings? We call G-strings G-strings. Girls don't call them thongs, do they?
No, that's an American thing. And everyone does a stand-up joke about that, don't they? When they went to America and said, put your thong on when you get on the beach. Yeah. What? Just one? No.
Yeah. Carl Barron does a routine about that.
Does he? Yeah, right.
How many have you got? Two? I'm wearing them right now. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then, of course, they're called flip-flops, aren't they?
Flip-flops in the UK. What are they called in
New Zealand? What are they called? Oh,
that's a good question.
Jingles. Something like that. Yeah.
That's true. What's the origin of them? Is it Japan? Where did I read? They were saying that during World War II, a lot of the American soldiers
Bought them back. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that's what started the trend.
Yes.
And of course, in a good American way, they didn't, they copied them in rubber.
And then they were big in surfing culture, weren't they? Beach culture. Thongs were big.
Oh, yeah. Like, very bad. They still are. I mean, they're verging on a fashionable item, still, aren't they? You can get fashion brands. But then there's the whole surfy world, as you said. You can get leather ones, or you can get suede, you can get plastic, you can get hemp ones, So there's all different styles you can get. But I just remember the old fashioned rubber thongs, and eventually either the front or the back little push through pop thing.
Yes.
Push through. It would, the hole would get a bit sloppy. And
yes.
You'd go around a corner and you blow it out. Yeah. I've blown out one of my thongs. Put it back in.
It back in, and then it worked for about a few minutes and it would come out again.
Yeah, yeah. Because there was nothing. Running in thongs is one of the hard things to do, I reckon. And there's no way you can take a corner with a pair of thongs.
There's that great movie, Two Hands, with Brian Brown and who does some great thong acting? Tom Long, who passed away actually, who was in Sea Change, Tom Long?
Really lovely guy. Yeah,
yeah, lovely guy. He plays one of Brian Brown's thugs. Does some great thong acting in it. Yeah, running in thongs to bash people and stuff. Yeah.
Who do we know?
Will Anderson. Will Anderson's a big...
Will Anderson, good point.
He told me once that he would walk to the gig in shoes and then put thongs on to go on stage because it's obviously his stage wear. He feels comfortable.
That's interesting. The psychology of a thong, it really does send you a message of, warm weather and feeling free. And
relaxed.
Yeah, relaxed.
Chris Franklin, the bloke? The Bogan comic, Chris Franklin?
Yes. He wears them on stage too, does he? Oh,
absolutely. Wears thongs all the time. I've seen him wearing thongs in, 4-degree winter. It's
Will Anderson, I think he wears them all year round.
Yeah.
I wear them, but not as much. I've got my new shoes that we've talked about on this show, of course, my new rock hopping shoes, which, by the way, when we were dealing with the seal, came in very handy because I was just ready because I had my rock shoes on.
The seal actually looked at your shoes and went, that guy, no, he's serious.
I'm not taking him on.
He's like the old man of the sea.
Yeah. I don't like the flap noise they make. Flip flop. Because that's why I call them flip flops.
Yeah.
The flap noise. Yeah. If I go for a walk with someone that got thongs on, What's that word for when you simple noises really upset you?
There's a term for it. I don't know.
There's a term. Anyway, a friend of mine has, and he's a real flapper. I just go, tone the flapping down a little bit. And they go, flap, 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 flap.
Well, I don't have thongs. I have Birkenstocks, but they flap.
Yeah, you're a Birkenstock. Yeah, as we had a playoff and your Birkenstocks with socks on, one over my rock shoes, which are so cool. I'm still hurt over that. So I've got this thing when I do wear a pair of thongs, because I don't want to flap, I press my toes together to reduce flapping.
Oh.
So when I'm in the off-the-ground position, I'll tighten my toes and then I'll put the thong back down. So I've got this tightening, a bit like tightening your sphincter at appropriate times. And then my dad, speaking of flapping, my dad, as much as he bought us a beach house that we've still got, he said, I'm going to go home and make sausages for everyone. We're all down the beach. I'm going to make sausages. And my dad had really big feet. And so he goes home, makes the sausages, basically because he wanted them, and then puts them in a big bowl with nothing over it, and then gets out of the car, walks back, and with his big flappy feet, he was flicking sand up into the air over into the bowl of sausages. So when he arrived, it was just they were crumbed. They were automatically sand crumbed. Oh, these are great, Dad. A bit crunchy, a little crunchy, but he was flapping away. Sand was going everywhere. It's fantastic stuff.
Did your dad cook the sausages long enough? Because we'd have an intervention with Kev because he wouldn't cook them long enough. And everyone would say they're too raw. Because sausages take a while. They take a long time to cook.
As I've said on this podcast before, Mum used to buy sausages and she'd leave one extra one for me and I would eat it raw. I would suck it from the tube. I'd sit in front of Hogan's Heroes or F Troop and suck away. Oh. And I loved raw. I loved raw sausage meat. Oh, which, anyway. Sausages are hard because you cook them too quick. And you burn the outside and not the inside. You've got to cook them slowly. Like the Webers are pretty good for cooking the sausages because with the lid on, I think they can cook a bit quicker that way. But
We had sausages the other night. Oh, I just cooked them in a fry pan because we don't have a barbecue at the beach house. But, gee, they were good. Oh,
Bloody good. And did you have them just with salad or surely you threw a pile of white bread on the table and said those who wish may partake.
No, you always gotta have bread. Especially with kids, you gotta have bread. Yeah. Bread sauce. Some onions
Didn't Kylie at the Summer Olympics in Sydney
come on? Yes.
Riding a thong, a giant thong.
There were thongs there, weren't there? As an Australian icon,
yeah,
good one, yeah, right.
I don't know, real Australian icon, which is probably it is an icon, but it's not probably not fair that we pretend that we own it.
No, but, but still, you know. It's kind of Aussie.
And I'll tell you something else. Just one more thing. My dad, because he had size 12 feet, he was really good at taking his thong off and killing flies, a fly. Back in the day when if you were naughty you might get whacked.
Oh, whack with a thong.
With a wet thong too. Get whacked with the thong.
Yeah.
That cracked, didn't it? Yeah. Especially on your ass with you just wearing a pair of Speedos, you know. Jeez. Hard yards. Dad, that hurt. Yeah.
Thongs are great. I've got to get some. I gotta get it back into the thongs.
Yeah, well, get a trendy pair and you know, you can be I dare say you may well wear them with socks.
Yeah. It's very German, but I need them for the beach. You're right, I got to get them for the beach.
They are. They're fantastic. And how often do you see one thong left on the beach or a pair of thongs left on the? Yeah. You can just go down the beach. You'll find a pair lying around somewhere because someone would have left them. And I'm always a bit wary, especially with the designer ones. You don't leave mine around because people come up and nick them. You know, they will. You know,
there's that great Rodney Rood joke where the kid walks in with one thong and he goes, You lost the thong, mate. He goes, nah, I found one. Classic.
There was a period where we used to throw thongs and you could, like boomerangs, you could almost make them, almost like a frisbee. You could actually throw a thong across a room or across, and you can go, whoop, 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 and catch it. For a short period there, it was a bit of a game.
Bit of fun.
Yeah, it's good. Sorry, I cut you off. Yeah.
No, I was going to say Dalai Lama.
Yes, the Dalai Lama.
I find the Dalai Lama fascinating because he was a monk, at 4 years old or something like that. They became monks. Yeah. He's just born into a peasant family. And then he was chosen because they believed he was reincarnated or something. They chose him at like six or something to become the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, I think it was six. Yeah. So he was the blessed one. And then and then he would go into being educated and learn the stories of life and his philosophies on. Because, you know.
So I imagine it's a bit like the Karate Kid or Kung Fu Panda. Have you seen the Kung Fu Panda movies where they go through this torturous, you know, education and physical trials? And I wonder, but it is a weird thing, isn't it? Where they just these monks drive around and they choose someone.
Isn't that cool, though? In a way, it's better than the royal family in that you're born to be a royal. Whereas when someone's just, you know what, could be anyone. It's like Tesla. Anyone could be the Dalai Lama. What's his real name? Has he got a Tenzing?
Yes, or he has. Yeah, he's got. Yeah, that's right, Tenzing. Yeah, he's got a real name. But all I know is that so he's actually the spiritual leader of Tibet. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But he has some political power, though, doesn't he?
He has political influence. Yeah. But he lives in exile. He lives in exile in India. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Chinese don't like him.
With Richard Gere, doesn't he hang out? Or used to hang out with him?
Tom Cruise. But yeah, so the Chinese exiled him, basically.
They're still worried. He can't go back to Tibet, can he? And it's, you know. Do we have any listeners in China? Can we make an appeal to them to perhaps, or maybe we shouldn't say anything. Probably best.
Well, no, it's terrible how they treat Tibet, you know. Yeah. But only because I've done I had to help my son with global politics in VCE that he was doing China, and they talk a lot about the Uyghurs who are up in the they're a Muslim minority up in China, and they get treated terribly, and they talk a bit about Tibet too, which is China's got no time for anyone of any difference, basically, to them.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. It's the tyranny. So could we go to Tibet if we wanted to?
Yeah, you can go to Tibet. Yeah, yeah.
Tibet. Where's Everest? Do you go? Isn't there?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. There's a few countries. Nepal. There's Tibet. I've never been there. I'd love to go there. Ever since reading Tintin in Tibet. Which is, you know, the Tintin books. He goes to Tibet. And so I'd love to go and have a look. Yeah, love to. Your mate, Tom Glides, they did that fishing show from that other country. I can't remember what it's called. But it's around there too. Like a real...
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah, they went to... Oh, and was that Rob and Tom that did the...
A river somewhere.
A river somewhere. Yeah, they went to another small nation near there where they have good fishing. Right. But... yeah, I'd love to go there.
I went and saw the Dalai Lama at the tennis centre here. I didn't know. I couldn't understand what we were saying. And it felt good, you know. You know, it felt quite where we came as one and sat around.
$50 a head, or was it you have to pay?
I'm just trying to think who opened for him. I think Farnham opened for him.
Farnham. Surely he'd get someone more like Deepak Chopra or someone along his lines.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah. To come out and do a bit of the philosophical.
Have we got any Aussie versions of that? Any Aussie versions of spiritual leaders? We don't have anyone, do we? Do we? They're all like.
What about Father Bob? Father Bob can get out there.
Oh, yeah, Father Bob. He's probably the closest.
He'd be great. He'd get out there and he can speak and he'd just give a bit of a talk and talk about his experiences and stuff. And then, okay.
Eckhart Tolle. That's who I was thinking of. Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, Eckhart Tolle.
He came out here and did some shows. I've read Eckhart's book. I loved it. A New Earth. Great book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I went to the Osama Bin Laden tour. That was good.
It was a pub tour. He did the pubs, didn't he? Yeah. Didn't do the big rooms.
Before he got killed.
Did the Dalai Lama win the Nobel Prize? I think he did back in the 80s, didn't he?
Probably.
For what? For peace, world peace, for spreading the good word, for, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, didn't Husey get to meet him?
Oh, yes. Yeah, on the project. Yeah.
So he got to, that'd be actually be good thinking music, wouldn't it, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Because Husey interviewed him. I didn't see it, but...
I'd love to hear that. Doesn't he, like, make statements and then people quote him? Because I remember reading that Mercedes-Benz they used one of his quotes in a TV ad.
Yes, they did. And they had to pull it down, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah. The light runs smooth or something like this. Hey, mate, it's not Deepak Chopra. You just can't quote him.
You just can't, you know, a cease and desist.
Should start sending out some spiritual quotes. And we'll do a few memes of you sitting on a surfboard with a seal could be in the background.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And Glenn, like, you know, the ocean runs deep, but the, I don't know, we've got to cut, what, the ocean runs deep, but the soul runs shallow. That doesn't have to make sense. They just have to look.
Oh, yeah, that's it. This has to have the good rhythm to them.
Yeah. The surf will always be there, but will your parents?
Yeah. Be one with the water, and the water will be one. And
yes.
The game
one.
Of life.
The be one with the water, but the water will always win.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And what's my other favourite one, which is don't take a long road to an average view.
That's great. Yeah, it's a long drive to an average view.
Yeah.
Someone which quoted that to me the other day. I think it was Adam Zwar quoted and said, "You know what Glenn Robbins always says?
Yeah,
it's a long drive to an average view."
Yeah, don't take the long drive to the average view. Which means if you've got a good story, if it goes for a long time, it better have a fucking good ending. Because I've committed a lot of time to this, and you've given me a shit ending, and you actually made it up. It's not true. You pretended it was true.
Or it's an old joke.
Oh yeah, it's an old joke. You go
Who used to do that all the time? They used to sit down and go, "Hey, did I tell you this? I was in the pub the other night. I was talking to this guy, and then I just go, hey, this is an old joke."
Yeah. Oh no. Now, Dalai Lama, he is, I'm embarrassed to say this, what is he? What religion is he?
Buddhist.
So he's into reincarnation, isn't he?
Yeah, well, they believe he's reincarnated. So, yeah, he's the one.
What would you like to come back as?
Well, I know I've already been a Egyptian king. I know that.
Because you spoke to it, you had your past lives done.
Yeah, yeah. And I was also a Viking. I mean, I was never a peasant. I was never the guy, you know, scooping up the elephant shit. No. I was always in charge.
Yeah, you weren't picking up bins or cleaning toilets.
Even though the majority of people 1,000 years ago would have been slaves and peasants, I was one of them.
Yeah.
What would I be reincarnated as?
Yeah, but it's reincarnation. And you come back as anything. You come back as a fish. Come back as a
penguin? Penguin? Nah, penguin swims a lot, though. They go on very long swims.
And they're cold. I think I'm a well-loved domestic cat. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yes.
I mean, a dog, you know, dog's good, but a domestic cat, they're sleeping in the sun all day. And licking
dog's not his, bad. Yeah. You go for a walk, someone picks up your poo. You know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, brings it back. That's pretty good. A bird, mate. Bird would be good. Bird.
Well, you get to fly, which would be
because that would impress all the other animals.
But you want to be a big bird. You don't want to be a little bird who's flying along and just gets picked up by a big bird and gets eaten. You don't want to be that.
You would. I tell you what, you wouldn't want to come back. It's chicken, prawn. Nah. You know, anything that's you know, top shelf at the restaurant. Oh,
cow.
No. If you came back as a prawn, wouldn't you be pissed off? Because your chances of, it wouldn't be good. You'd be gone in a flash, but anyway.
Yeah. Or a dairy cow would be. He's getting milked all the time. Oh,
yeah, it's pretty boring, though, standing around.
Cold, early mornings. Yeah. Someone pulling on your teat, you know. Mm. Okay, well, should we have some thinking music then? Yeah, let's have some.
Yes.
All right. Well, is this Husey talking to the Dalai Lama?
I think the Husey, I reckon he spoke to him on the project.
Yeah,
and,
great.
Okay. Fire it. Take it away, Husey.
I went through surgery.
Right, yep.
The gallbladder. So I want to tell you, now this time, although you are meeting Dalai Lama,
yes.
The same person, but actually one important organ missing.
What happened to the gallbladder?
Hmm?
Is it in a jar somewhere, the gallbladder, or did they get rid of it?
I think somewhere. I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
I'd like to have that. Do you get annoyed that you're so busy? Do you love being busy?
It depends. Meaningful. If meaningful, busy, very good.
Has this interview been meaningful? Meaningful?
Oh, meaningful.
Yes, this interview.
Your eyes, a little bit sort of strange. I enjoy it. Such person. This is really open. I love that.
I do appreciate that.
Oh, very good.
You could tell by the look in his face, he was very respectful. I mean, yes. Husey was got. You could tell. I mean, it's very easy to look stupid in front of the Dalai Lama. I mean, you shoot yourself in the foot. Didn't Karl Stefanovic try to do a joke with him and it became quite famous?
Oh, that's right. What was that again?
Was the joke? Did you hear about the Dalai Lama? He went into a pizza shop. I want to be one with everything. I want to be something like that. Something to play on the words.
Got nothing? The Dalai Lama?
No, got nothing from the Dalai. No, I got nothing. Yeah. I mean, seriously, You're going in there, hey, Carl, but I'm going to tell the Dalai Lama a joke. I mean, yeah. The guy's got a good sense of humour, but not
he
that
does.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, and when I heard the joke, I was kind of going, Dalai, I get why you're not laughing. Not a great joke. I mean, I didn't do it justice.
But also, English is not his first language. So you've got to allow for that, some misunderstanding. If it's a wordplay.
Yep.
What's your guess? I'll have a...
My guess, this is obvious. I'm going to say in his entire life, he has never, ever worn anything but thongs.
Wow. I'm going to say the Dalai Lama once did an ad campaign for thongs to raise money for Tibet.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I wonder if he can be bored. I wouldn't think so.
You go on, Sam. I want to hear.
Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear?
Yeah, I want to hear. Yeah.
All right. What is the answer, Sam?
Okay, guys, this one's a little light, but it is January. The Dalai Lama's preferred footwear are thongs. He gets around anywhere, even the most exclusive circles, with the casual footwear.
You were right.
I was right. Well,
you were right.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Do you reckon if you opened his cupboard, he'd have hanging around thongs, he'd have going out thongs, he'd have, you know, fine dining thongs, he'd have
travel like a Melba Marcos.
And they wouldn't go away. They'd go, how many reckon he'd travel with him? Probably half a dozen, do you reckon?
Yeah, how many would he have? That's a good point.
Would he have rubber ones? Would they all be made of hemp or something? Or would he have...
Surely he had ones for the shower. Remember that you have to wear them in the shower so you don't get a pamplona.
Yeah, you'd have your shower ones. Yep.
Yeah. So you don't get a wart. You don't get a wart in the shower. Yeah.
That's right. I wonder if you could give them as a gift to the Dalai Lama and say, we know you love thongs.
Yes.
Here's a nice Australian rubber pair, you know.
It's a great idea.
So who was that? Imelda Marcos? Is she the one that had all the shoes?
Yes.
Yeah. I reckon he's like that with thongs. I reckon he would have, you pull the cupboard door open, he'd have up one end, he'd have all the what do you call it?
The wraparound.
He'd have half a dozen of those, half a dozen of thongs, and I reckon he'd wear undies. He wouldn't go.
He'd have some undies.
He'd have undies, wouldn't he? Very easy packing. Very easy packing.
He's hand luggage for sure. He'd be hand luggage on the plane.
Yep. Now, this is interesting. We had an argument about this with somebody else. Can you drive with thongs on?
Oh, it's hard.
Is it legal?
Yeah, I think it's legal.
I think there was a time when it wasn't because they sort of thought if your thong slipped off and got stuck underneath the brakes or the...
Yes.
Underneath, it could make the accelerator because it would work like a spring and make it go.
Absolutely.
So...
I remember thongs used to be, you still see it on pubs these days, no singlets, no thongs, no entry. Thongs very looked down upon back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if we were auditioning people for this show to take over either my role or your role, let's just say that you died, you were attacked by a seal, right? And we had to recast you.
Yeah.
No, maybe you went to live with the seals. What happened to he went to live with the seals down on the west coast of Victoria.
He thought of living with the wolves, but he thought the seals would be better.
Yeah. He's dancing with, and it'd be made into a documentary called Dancing with Seals. And we'd see all your old shows, you know.
Like my friend the octopus.
Yeah. And there'd be unsubstantiated footage of you with the seals lying on some rocks. Sunning yourself, and then you dive back into the water and swim off, and they go, we think that was Dave O'Neill,
and in a wetsuit.
Oh, in a wetsuit. Yeah, you would live in the wetsuit. Yeah, absolutely.
Eating fish.
Yeah, and just lying back and just having just lying back there in a bit of seaweed. You know, loving life. Basically,
could bring down the kids occasionally to wave at me from the shore.
Yeah. There goes Dad. He looks happy.
But
anyway.
I would have moved on. I'd have a partner in the seal world.
Oh, would you? Yeah, you would too.
Seal girlfriend. Seal girlfriend.
But then you might get captured by SeaWorld up in Queensland. And you start being the host, and it comes full circle. And you become the host of the SEAL show up at SeaWorld, and we all go and see you and get together. And then we smuggle you out and we bring you back. It all ends happily. But anyway, in the meantime, I've got to audition someone for Somehow Related. If someone turned up in thongs, I wouldn't be impressed.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not job interview stuff. It's not job interview.
You go to some trouble. Because anyway, I remember Larry David talked about it on he was on an aeroplane, the bloke next to him had short pants on and he was bending his knees and he's going, you know what, when you're on a plane, don't expose your knees. And it's kind of like, yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. So I gotta be honest, I don't like looking at people's feet.
Yeah, yeah. People take their shoes and socks off on a plane too.
Well, yeah, hats off to feet because they do a bloody good job. They're carrying us around 24/7, you know. They're kicking balls, they're climbing ladders, they're dancing, they're walking, they're running, they're swimming for you. So they're doing the good, but they are quite ugly. And if they're not maintained, they can look, you know. And in the ugly. Wrong pair of thongs you go, and if they, you know what? If they're for some reason, white feet aren't attractive. Brown feet always look good. Tan feet look good.
Yeah, they do. They do. But white feet is like, oh my God. Look at that.
Look at your white feet. I've got a little, I haven't tanned, but I've got a little bit going on just so I don't look totally embarrassing. I don't sunbake, and neither do you, I'm sure.
No.
But, no, I don't mean it rudely, but I just mean it's just, you know, baking out there. It's just,
I'm scared of the sun. I'm scared of the sun.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
But you know, when you go to Europe and the sun's not as powerful in the Northern Hemisphere, so you can walk around that hat on.
I reckon in Victoria, the further you go south, the stronger it gets. I don't know whether it's got something to do with the ozone layer or something, but anyway. Yeah. Anyway, you can quote me on that.
Well, okay. There we go, Dalai Lama. So he was a monk. I've got told this joke before about the monks. The monk starts in the monastery.
Oh, no, please.
And, you know, he's only allowed to say two words a year. You know this joke? He's only allowed to say two words a year.
I don't.
He stays there for a year, and the head monk goes, okay, what are your two words for the year? And he goes, bed hard. He's like, all right. He has another year there, and he goes, all right, what are your two words for the year? And he goes, food bad. And he's like, oh, okay. So he has another year there working away in the monastery. He goes, you've got your two words. What do you want to say? And he goes, too cold. He goes, oh, all right. So he has another year there, and then he goes, all right, what are your two words? He goes, look, I don't want to say two words. I'm leaving. I've had enough of this place. And the guy goes, good. All you've done is bloody complain since you've been here. It's a classic. Yeah.
You can fuck off. There's your two words, dickhead. Smart classic. Ass.
Classic.